You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wells Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Well, it's good to be here this morning. Are you glad you're here?
Yes.
Yeah, there could be a lot of places you could be, but man, it's good to be in the house of God. My wife told me, as Pastor Brenda said, that you know, our sixth grandbaby is getting ready to come out of the oven, and during the night we had to pray because baby was faced the wrong way. But God's good, and I bind C-section in the name of Jesus. I'm not doing that to any of my family, and that's not God's best. You know, sometimes that happens, but I'm not believing for it. Anyway, baby's in right on the way to come. Anyway, Pat told me, she says, now you leave your phone on, you know, because I'm going to call you. So I want you as witnesses. I left the phone on, but you people meet so far out in the sticks that there's no service on my phone. So I have to wait until another time. You know, as Pastor Michael said, we met at Lakewood Church when John Osteen was a pastor. And the thing I like that drew me to Michael and Brenda is they thought like I did. And, you know, back then there wasn't a whole lot of people that thought like we thought about what the Bible, you know. We just believe what the Bible says. And if the Bible says it, we just believe it. And, you know, the Bible is God's word. God said it. We receive it and we believe it. We act on it. And so, Pastor Michael is kind of like God. You know, the Bible says, or like Jesus, the Bible says the same yesterday, today, and forever. And, you know, that's basically the way he is. Of course, we all have battles in life. Even ministers of the gospel have battles. We face battles. And the devil comes against us. But, you know, he's like I am. I just don't ever give up. I just don't ever give in to it. I just, you know, the Bible says he's a liar and the father of all lies and the truth is not in him. So if God said that, well, I believe that. If the devil comes, he's a liar. If he says I'm sick, I know I'm not, because he's a liar. You know, if he comes and says, you know, you're not going to make it, you know, the economy is so bad that you're going under. Well, I know I'm going over because he's a liar. You know, anytime he said the baby was upside down, you know, immediately the devil comes and says, see there, you know, see there, you prayed that everything was going to be fine and it's not fine. And I said, no, it is fine. Because he's a liar. The Bible says he's a liar. He can't help himself. He cannot tell the truth. He tries to make you think it's the truth, but you look through the wrong eyes. You don't look through the eyes of faith. You don't listen with the right ears. You don't listen with the ears of faith. And if you don't listen with the right ears, you don't see with the right eyes, you don't speak with the right mouth, then you just by chance might just pick up some things you don't want to pick up on. Amen. Well, it is good to be here today. There's the clock. I don't have my watch. I have to see the clock. Amen? Are you ready?
Yes.
Oh, I better give you a brief overview of what we're doing for God. The major project we're working on now is in Ghana. We're training pastors. I put together a training package for pastors in the bush. And they're learning how to receive the harvest and how to keep it. And the way that we're going to do the harvest is we're going to drill some wells in the villages in the remote areas of Ghana, and because they don't have potable water. The water's terrible. It's just awful. It just would make you sick if you drank it. And so that's the major thrust. And God said that if we would provide potable water for them, that they would come to him by the thousands. They would come to Jesus by the thousands. And thousands and thousands. The first area we're going to work in is over 100,000. Most of the villages are small, around 2,000 people, but there's pastors in the different villages, and we're raising up pastors. So I put together that, and we're working on that. I just got an email from my contact pastor with Hilltop Ministries in Ghana, and he said, Pastor, we need food for the people. We need clothes for the people. Can you help us? So we'll be working on that. We were supposed to go to Ghana, but they had we were supposed to go in March, and they had a new election, or earlier, February, and they had a new election, and the president that came to power is not the most favorable towards the things of, well, he's not at all favorable toward the things of God. And kind of there's unrest going on and some riots and kind of things, so they postponed our trip until they think things will settle out, but they usually do by next February. So we won't be making a trip till February, but that's when we'll launch the water wells and do great things for God. Then we'll be going to Holland in May for Visionary Day. That's where there's 135 churches so far that have come together in the council of the, let's see, it's a long name. It's the Council for the Migrant Churches of Holland, the Hague. And so I'll be speaking at that. I'll be speaking at the Visionary Day, and dignitaries and everything from Holland will be there. And, you know, I'm believing before long that I'm going to have an audience with the Queen. I've already talked to the Prime Minister and met with the Prime Minister, so I'm believing to meet with the Queen. The Queen's a special person. She, her mother was not able to, had not been able to conceive a child, and she heard of John G. Lake. And John G. Lake came and prayed for her, and Queen Beatrice, as a result of that prayer, her mother had had her supernaturally, I guess it'd be supernaturally because she wasn't able to have any children, and John G. Lake prayed for her. I don't know if you ever heard of John G. Lake, but if you haven't ever heard of him, you ought to buy one of his books. It'll change your life forever. Amen. Amen. All right, with all, let us open our Bibles to Philippians. You know, the Bible talks about perilous times. You know, and I don't know if we're in perilous times, but we could be. There's a lot of people think it's perilous times. I'm not one of them because I'm not of this world. You know, I'm born again. I asked Jesus to come into my life, and he came in and he saved me. And I joined the family of God, and my citizenship is in heaven. And so, you know, I'm under God's economy. I'm under God's health plan. You know, everything I need is in God. I want to read to you from Philippians chapter 4. Now, don't get nervous. You might have heard these scriptures before. But that's okay, man. Let's begin with verse 15. It says, Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. But even... What, I got service? Hello? Yeah. 10:18. £6, 15 ounces. She has dimples like Sarah. And she's got dark hair. And she smiled at Chase, and then she smiled at her mama. And she's not even crying. She's praising the Lord. Hallelujah. Get her all ready for the anointed one, okay? Another beautiful grandchild. Amen. All right. She looks more like Sarah. Well, that's good news. Round, huh? Okay. Love you. Bye-bye. Glory! Hallelujah. Was that a satellite phone? Or was it? My phone wouldn't work out here. Amen. Well, where were we? Beautiful baby girl. She's just a few days early. She was supposed to be April 4th, but...
What's her name?
Oh, Addison. Addison, I can't remember the middle name. It'll come to me. Phew. We have five girls, girl grandchildren, and one boy. He was born last, before her. This one broke the chain. My wife and I had five girls, and then we had a boy, and then we had four girls and a boy, and then we had four girl grandchildren, and then a boy grandchild. So this one ruined the chain. Probably going to bring on some more. Hallelujah. All right. We were reading verse 15. Now we're verse 16. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again into my necessity. Not because I desired a gift, but I desire that you may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things which were from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know, that's an amazing verse. You know, you hear so many people cry about, you know, and whine about the economic situation. But, you know, I know things come against us, but God says he supplies all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's God's word on it. So you got to, you have to make a decision. Whose kingdom do you want to function under? Do you want to function under the system of this world, or you want to function on God's economy or in God's world? You know, you have to decide that. You know, you have to decide whether you're going to believe or not. You know, every person has to make that decision. Am I going to believe God, or am I not going to believe God? Well, how do I know if I believe God? By what comes out of your mouth. You know, you just listen to yourself and you know whether you believe God or not. When you believe God, you'll talk what the Bible says. You'll say, you know, as things get tough, you'll say, my God supplies all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Or as Pastor said, you know, if your body's not well, you're prayed for, from that moment on, you need to be speaking that you're healed. That you received your healing. You know, you have to put a D on the end of believe. Believed. You have to get to the point where you believed. When you believe, then there's no more doubt about it. You have it settled. You believed it, and no physical circumstance is going to change your mind about what it is that you have received and believed and received. Sure is quiet. Now, why does God want to meet all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus? Because he loves you. He loves you. Say out loud, God loves me. Isn't that an interesting thought? Isn't that an interesting concept? God loves me. He doesn't always love exactly what I do, but he loves me. Why does he want to bless me? Because he loves me. Why does he want me well? Because he loves me. You know, you need to get it down in your spirit that God does love me. You know, you. God loves you. God loves me. He just, because he loves you. I mean, it's just awesome. To think that God, the God Almighty, the God in heaven, the God of the Bible, loves me. And he wants me to be blessed. And he wants to meet all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. It's that kind of love that moved Jesus to go to the cross. And when he went to the cross, he died for you. And he died for your neighbors. He died for your relatives. He died for your friends. And they need to hear about Jesus. They need to know that Jesus loves them. Man, I love that. We're about empowering people with the good news. Well, how do you empower people with the good news? You don't get involved with what's on television and what's on the radio and what's in the newspaper that's not edifying, comforting, and exhorting. Yeah. You need to tell. You need to talk what it is that you believe. You need to. You know. We need to be different. Pretty soon, they. You know. If you keep talking what God says about you and what you have, they might start off thinking you're weird. But after a while, they're not going to think you're weird anymore. I can't tell you how many of my relatives don't think I'm so weird as I used to be, as they used to think I was. You know, they thought it was just too far out. But at all our family gatherings, when different relatives are there, who's the one that's always asked to pray? And when I get done praying, they said, some tear up in their eyes. And that was so good. That was so powerful. You know, God wants every believer, say every believer, on the face of this earth to come to Him. Why? For what they need. He wants you to come to Him. Try God. It just might work out a blessing in your life. Try God. I always try God if the devil tries to come against my body. I always try God first. And you know what? God always works. I have a cousin whose husband went to the hospital to have back surgery, and they didn't do the back surgery right. So then he had to have another back surgery, and when he got that back surgery, he got this almost deadly, 40% deadly infection in his body, run through his body, and they decided to take out his gallbladder, and they took out his gallbladder, and then they were checking his liver. And all this business, I'm praying for him. I'm believing God. He is out of the got mono while I was in the hospital. You know, I'm not against doctors. I'm not against hospitals. But, why does God want me healed? Because He loves me. You know, sometimes the world's way doesn't always work. But if we trust God, God's way will always work. Well, are you saying you're against hospitals? No, I'm not against hospitals. I'm just not going. And I have to go to a doctor occasionally, you know, to keep up on the shots that you need to have to go overseas and stuff. But I'm not against them. I'm for them. They do the good that they can do. Can you say amen? But I'll tell you what, God wants, God loves me so much that He sent Jesus into this world to die for me. And in the dying process, there was stripes put upon His back. And by those stripes or with those stripes, I am healed. That's what the Bible says. Why? Because God wants me well. God wants me blessed. God loves me. Say it again. Say God loves me.
God loves me.
Hallelujah. Now think about this. Think about this. God is in love with you. That's an interesting concept. He's in love. You know, sometimes people think that God is so far off, but the only reason they think He's so far off is because they don't know how to access Him. Yeah. Well, how do you access Him? Well, we're doing it there and pray in the worship. That's your point to access Him, to draw close to Him. You know, when difficult situations arise or when trouble comes, you just ought to go to God. Amen? Amen. You know, there's a lot of people, this concept is so important because there's a lot of people out there who think because of the things that have happened in their life that God doesn't love them. And man, we need to tell people that God loves them. Hallelujah. You know, that the good news, not the bad news, the good news. You know, and when we start talking about, when everybody was talking about, when you remember back when gasoline was up our way, it got up to $4.75 a gallon. And people was moaning and complaining, but I didn't join them. I started speaking to my truck, and the window thing on the truck said the highway mileage is 17 miles a gallon, so I just started saying my truck is 30 miles a gallon. Well, you can't do that. I certainly can. God says I can have what I say if I believe it. So I started saying it so much, I started believing it, and because when I started believing it, it started happening. I'm not joining them. Well, what if it goes to $5 a gallon? Well, what if it does? God knows what I have need of. Well, what if I lose my job? Well, what if you do? Don't you think God has a job for his children. Why does he? Because he loves us. You know, there's always a temptation to get fretful and worried. But I'll tell you what, don't do it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's go to Isaiah 59. I just can't, you know, I'm just having a hard time getting over that God wants to meet all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The devil wants me to think I'm going under. But God says he wants to meet my needs. But what are my needs? Well, he points them out to me. He knows what my needs. God knows what my needs. I know what my needs are. I know what I need to have. Amen? And God wants to meet those. Now, don't get nervous now. Verse 1. This doesn't sound too good, but we'll get good after a while. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, verse 1, 59 verse 1, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. And, you know, to a degree, this is what's happened around the world. People have turned a deaf ear to God. You know, church attendance in the United States is on the decline, is going down, according to statisticians. Who knows whether they're right or wrong? You know, you just have to, you know, just believe what they say. I mean, you don't have to believe what they say, but I mean, you know, they come up with these concepts based on statistics or on polls to see, and they say, you know, church attendance is going down. Well, church attendance around the world, except in third world countries, is going up. You know, we're seeing people come to Jesus in Holland and in Ghana, where we're involved. We see the churches growing, and I guess it's based out of the need that they're seeing. You know, because of their situation, that they need God, that God is their only answer. Now the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people. Now, are you his people?
Yes.
If my people will humble themselves and will pray, it's not just enough to pray, but you have to turn from your wicked ways. Well, what, you know, sometimes you think about wicked. What's wicked? Well, to me, wicked is anything that's not of God, that's not according to his word. If I start believing doubt and unbelief, to me, you know, if I start, entertaining doubt and unbelief, to me, that's wicked. That's a wicked way, and I have to turn from my wicked ways. God says, then I will hear from heaven. And I will heal your land. So prayer is important. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You know, does the fact that multitudes are perishing ever give you an anxious thought? That people that there are people all around that are on their way to a place called hell. Well, but God's a God of a second chance. Yeah, while you're in the earth suit, while you're in your body. But once that spirit comes out of the body, it's going to one of two places according to the word of God. And we say, well, I don't know whether I believe that or not. Well, believe whatever you want to, but that's what the Bible says. And, you know, there's enough proofs that give authenticity to the Bible to make me believe that, you know, that's what the way it is. That there is a heaven and there is a hell. There's enough things proved by the Bible to prove that it is an authentic fact. Did you know that America spends more on chewing gum in 1 year than it spends on missions? More money is spent on chewing gum than is spent on missions. And then the question is, how many Christians are living the Christian life before sinners? That's, you know, how many are doing that? That's a question. You know, where is the conviction of sin? You know, what is sin? You know, you think about sin and you start, you know, starting to label sin, and you think that certain things, because they seem more more heavy, that, you know, that's sin. No, sin is anything that's not according to the word of God. If you're not believing in a certain area, that's sin. If you're not doing fulfilling God's plan in your life, then that's sin. If you don't know what God's plan is for your life, you better find out what it is. You know, God has a plan for your life. He has a purpose for your life. He has a work for you to do. You say, well, why do you tell us this? Because if you want God, if you want God's blessing flow in your life, you have to be doing what God says to be doing. You have to be living the life that He says to be living. And how do we get an outpouring of the Spirit? How do we get the Spirit to fall, fall and just come into a service and just wipe us out? I mean, you know, not dead, but just wipe us out in the Spirit. We just can't even stand anymore. There's falling out in our chairs or over our chairs under the Spirit. How do we get that saturation of the Spirit to come in where it's so heavy that all you just weep before the Lord because you can't do anything else, and the Spirit begins to move, and it becomes tangible. It's like a mist that comes in. There's been a lot of prayer go forth for revival, but I'm telling you what, we got to turn away from our unbelief. We got to turn away from our sin. And I'm not preaching on sin. I'm just telling you we have to turn away from it. We have to get rid of it. How are we going to fill the church to overflow? And how are we going to have two or three services on Sunday morning or on Sunday? How are we going to get the presence of God in the house? Well, God's presence comes in the house when we turn away from our sin, when we turn from our wicked ways. The Bible uses the word wicked. Jesus says we have to do those things that are right in His sight. Those things that are pleasing in His sight. Amen? All right, so we talked about that. Now let's go to Psalms 143. Psalm 143. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Verse 1. Give ear to my supplications. In your faithfulness answer me, and in your righteousness. And enter not into judgment with your servant, but in your sight, for in your sight no man living in himself righteous or justified. For the enemy has pursued and persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life down to the ground. He has made me to dwell in dark places as those who have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed. I mean, this guy's in trouble. And faints within me. My heart within me grows numb. But I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your doings. I ponder the works of your hands. I spread forth my hands to you. My soul thirsts after you like a thirsty land for water. Pause. Think about it. Answer me speedily, O Lord, for my spirit fails. Hide not your face from me, lest I become like those who go down into the pit. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for on you do I lean. You I do trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk and lift up my inner self to you. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. I flee to you to hide me. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me into this level country and into the land of uprightness. Save my life, O Lord, for your name's sake. In your righteousness, bring my life to trouble and free me from distress. And in your mercy and loving kindness, cut off my enemies and destroy all those who afflict my inner self, for I am your servant. You know, in difficult times, you need to know that the devil cannot do anything in your life if you refuse to give him a place. You have to decide that I'm not going to give place to the devil. I am not going to give him a place. You know, you need to use your sixth sense. Everybody say sixth sense. See, sixth sense is what gives us contact with the kingdom of God. It's legal tender in the kingdom of God. They say our money is legal tender, but I doubt it. You know that, but we have legal tender in the kingdom of God, and our sixth sense is faith. Everybody say faith. You know, you need to decide. We're not beggars, but we're believers. You know, this is an interesting concept. Whatever we need is already guaranteed by God. It's already done as far as God's concerned. Whatever it is that we need. God has already accomplished it. God has already finished it. The Bible says that all things are possible. Is that true?
Yes.
All things are possible? So start thinking bigger and grow and develop. Faith is tangible. Faith is real. What's faith? Faith is agreement with the Word of God. Agreeing with what God says in His Word and believing it even though you can't see it. You know, electricity is an example of how faith works. Everybody say electricity.
Electricity.
You know, faith transmits the power of God. You access the power of God through faith. The bigger cord gets the bigger results. Now you got to decide whether you're going to use a Brown extension cord. Or an orange extension cord. Or a yellow extension cord. Or a blue extension cord. Or a transmission line. It's up to you to decide, you know, if you want to use a puny little brown extension cord to hook up to God, then, you know, you're going to get kind of puny results through the transmission line. You know, you got to connect, and you know, and you got to connect to heaven. And how do I connect to heaven? I connect through faith. You know, here the psalmist is going through this difficult time in his life. He's discouraged, but he accesses the heaven by remembering the things that God has done in the past, how God has helped him in the past, how God has been for him in the past. See, and he reminds himself and he encourages himself in those blessings that God has. You know, there's a song, it says, count your many blessings, name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. So when you're facing a trial, you're facing a situation, begin to thank God. Begin to remind yourself and bring it before God of the wonderful things that he's done for you in your life. And the more you thank him, the more you praise him, the thicker cords you're going to be using. Amen. You know, get rid of the little brown cord and get a transmission line. You know, there's so many Christians that are agreeing with the doubt and unbelief. I was in a church service not long ago. I was going to preach in that service, and in the worship service, God came to me in the service and said, spoke to me during when I was worshiping him and saying, son, if you didn't read the newspaper and you weren't listening to television or the radio, you wouldn't even know there's an economic crisis.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. You know, and if I didn't know there was an economic crisis, then there were certain thoughts that I wouldn't have to deal with. But because I know, myself, so I've been distancing myself as much as possible, or insulating myself from listening. And I got a revelation. I finally got a revelation. I've heard it several times. I even heard Brother Summerall preaching in our church down when we were passing down in Victoria. He was down there and he talked about the time that he went to Smith Wigglesworth's house and carried a newspaper into the house, and Smith chased him out and told him, don't ever bring a newspaper in my house again. And so Brother Summerall told that. And, you know, and I finally, you know, in that, just a few weeks ago down in Lavernia, Texas, I got a revelation in my brain of the importance of guarding your mind, or putting a guard over your mind. Especially if you put a guard over your mouth so that you won't sin against God. So I've been working a distance myself too much from taking too much thought about it. And if I don't take thought about it, then I take thought about the things of God. And then I go back to Philippians 4:19 that God's going to take care of me. He's going to take care of me. I just act like, everything's okay. Everything's wonderful. Praise God. We say, well, how can you do that? Because the Bible says to walk by faith and not by sight. You know, you got to walk by faith, not by sight. Well, you know, that's easier said than done. Well, it might be easier said than done, but it can be done. And you got to decide that I can do it. Amen. Say, I can do it in Jesus' name. See, Satan cannot rob you or terrorize you unless you authorize him to do it. He has to have authorization. Well, how is he authorized? By the words that you speak out of your mouth. I don't care how bad I feel when I get out of bed in the morning. I'm not going to confess how bad I feel. I'm not giving in to it.
Amen.
This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. And if he hits me too hard, I'll just dance, even though it might hurt. I'll just dance me a jig until it doesn't hurt anymore. We had a friend when we were going to church down at Lakewood, that his name was Bobby Bonds, and he was stepped into a hole on his property and in his ankle. Well, his foot was turned over sideways. He walked into his house and said, Lord, the word says that by the stripes of Jesus I am healed. And he says, listen, you gotta know that you believe this. Everybody say, I gotta know that. Don't try this unless you know you believe. He lifted up that leg and he stomped that foot on the ground. And when he stepped that foot on the ground, that foot snapped back into place. And he was like the lame man at the gate called Beautiful. He went walking and leaping and praising God. We said, how do you know that? I saw it. You know, you see something like that and it changed your life forever. Makes you more determined. You see, the only way Satan can get a foothold in your life is to latch onto the words that you speak out of your mouth. The negative words that you speak out of your mouth. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 3. And this is my wind up. We're moving toward conclusion. Amen? You say, how come? Because it's 10 minutes to 12. That's why. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 9. Well, let's read verse 8, okay? Oh, let's read verse 7. This is good. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost says, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years. All right, now, I said earlier, but you have to believe that God, do you believe that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? That was pretty weak. Do you believe that God, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever?
Yes.
No, let's do it one more time. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever?
Yes.
Do you think that it's possible in the 21st century, in the year 2009, that God could still provide a continuous string of miracles?
Yes.
That was weak. Do you believe that God could provide a continuous string of miracles in 2009 for you?
Yes.
All right, now so it says they was tempted. They tempted God. Now the word tempted means they put him to the test. You know, it's good sometimes to put God to the test. Now if you know the story of the children of Israel, the story of the Exodus, the children of Israel were in a situation that demanded miraculous intervention day by day. Can you say amen? Now, if God hadn't intervened, they would have never survived. They were out there in the wilderness. And why were they in the wilderness? Because they gathered up a bunch of jewelry and threw it into the fire, and out of the fire came a golden calf. And when Moses came down, Aaron told him, Moses asked, what have you done? And, oh, well, we just threw these into the fire, and out came a cow. I mean, they'd just seen all these miracles of God cross the Red Sea, and already they were off in doubt and unbelief. So the Bible says that, you know, because of their unbelief, they wandered in the wilderness 40 years. Everybody say 40 years.
40 years.
Amen. I don't want to be in the wilderness for 40 days, let alone 40 years. Or 4 days, 4 hours, 4 minutes. You know, I don't want to be in the wilderness. You know, God did intervene. They found themselves in a situation where God demonstrated to them how faithful he can be to his people. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
You know, God had told them that he was good. Everybody say, God is good.
God is
Turn
good.
To your neighbor and say, God is good.
God is good.
You know, don't get it out of your mind if it was ever in your mind that God is not good. The devil's bad, God is good. Bad things come from the devil, good things come from God. I mean, it's just real simple. Don't make it any harder. Don't try to complicate it. Now, how many Christians do you think today are being challenged in the area of finances? Do you think a lot? How many churches do you think are being challenged today by finances? Or how many ministries? A lot. Everybody say a lot. But, you know, thank God for challenges because, if we're challenged, that means that God says we have the faith to pursue and overcome whatever we're being challenged with. Amen? Because the Bible says God will never tempt you or test you beyond that which you're able to bear. You have within you, whenever you're tested or tried, you have within you whatever is needed to overcome that test or that trial. Otherwise, it wouldn't be fair, and God is fair. Maybe some of us are in a situation where we need to shout out, God, you are the great provider. He's El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. So, I need to, for you to show me who you are. I need you to move on my behalf right now. Maybe some of us are there. I know there's a lot of Christians that are there. Now read the verse now. It says they tempted him and they proved him. This word proved means something that's tested or tried and found to be true. So they tested him, proved him, and God showed them that it was genuine. Never once in 40 years in the wilderness, never one day did God ever fail them. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
They saw his works for 40 years. Now we're going to look at just a sample in conclusion here of what God provided for them. We're going to talk about manna. We're going to talk about quail. And we're going to talk about water. Let's just say, as many Bible scholars have said, that there were 3 million children of Israel at this particular point in time. Everybody say 3 million. So you could therefore estimate that 4,500 tons of manna were needed every day to feed the children of Israel. You think God can't meet your need? And he can provide 4,000, just out of thin air, my brother and sister, just out of thin air. 4,500 tons of manna every day. Just think of it, just out of thin air. Just out of nowhere. God puts together a meal for them every day. 4,500 tons every day. 40 years. Every day, except on one day, he provided a double dose so that they could rest on the Sabbath day and not have to gather. But that's still 4,500 tons on one day, 9,000 tons. 40 years, 65,700,000 tons of manna supernaturally appeared on the ground day in and day out, every day on the ground, every day on the ground, every day, just out of thin air, my brother and sister. 4,500 tons of manna. Now let's talk about the quail. Everybody say quail. You think God can't meet your need? My question is, how far did these birds have to travel to get to the children of Israel's camp in the wilderness? You don't normally find birds or quail in the wilderness. If you took an average of every child or all the children of Israel, and they ate one quail per day, everybody say one quail. You know, quails are little. They are very little birds. They would need 90 million quail per month. Where'd those birds come from? How far did they fly? And the amazing thing is, they just flew into camp. They just came into the camp. Sitting on the ground looking up at the children of Israel as if to say, eat me, eat me, eat me. I've hunted quail before and I never saw a quail that acted like that. God takes care of his children. Well, I just don't know where it's going to come from. Just out of thin air, my brother and sister. Just out of thin air. All of a sudden. Man, I'm thinking more. All of a sudden. All of a sudden. Everybody say, all of a sudden. When's my healing going to come? All of a sudden. When's my financial miracle going to come? All of a sudden. Where's my job going to come? When is my job going to come? All of a sudden. Where are those buyers going to come from for my business? All of a sudden. You know, you got to get all of a sudden mentality. Just think about the children of Israel. What if they ate two quail a day? Quails aren't very big. 180 million quail in 1 month. That's a lot of birds. That is a lot of birds. All right, now how about the water? They were in a dry and arid wilderness. Where'd the water come from? Well, it came out of a rock. I mean, one day it didn't come out of the rock, and another day when Moses struck the rock, water came out. Now, how much water do you think it would take to properly take care of 3 million people in the wilderness and all the animals in the hot, hot, dry temperature of the desert? Well, it could be as much as 15 million gallons every day, conservatively. Everybody say, you think God can't meet your need? Look at me. Come on. Well, I just don't know if God, you just don't understand my situation. I'm understanding theirs. And I've got a better covenant with better promises. I've got the name of Jesus. The name is above every name. That the name of Jesus, demons tremble. I got the name. Three thousand seven hundred and fifty 4,000 gallon tank trucks to deliver the necessary water every day that the children of Israel need. That is some rock, baby. That is some water flow coming out of that rock. Amen? I mean, it's in the desert. In the desert, the only water available was bitter water. Nasty water, if there was any. I mean, it's a desert. And all of a sudden, 15 million gallons of water a day, conservatively, just came out of a rock. There was no water source. It had to be provided supernaturally. The important thing is Moses obeyed God. That's what we got to do when God speaks to us. We got to obey Him. Well, I could never do that. Well, yeah, you're right. You just need to change what you can do, what you say you can do. Well, it just never worked for me. Well, you got to get rid of that and start thinking it will work for me because you're special. If you're a born-again believer, you are special. You are a special person. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. 1 week's water supply would equal about 100 million gallons. 25,500 4,000-gallon water tankers per week. I started to sit down, figure this out, and said, wow, whew, this God, He's awesome. And this is under the old covenant. If He could do that under the old covenant, what in the world could He do under the new? Man, what a privileged people they were to see the marvelous works of God. But notice verse 8, we read verse 8, notice what happened. They became hard-hearted. They got negative. And the Bible tells us not to be like them. Don't you be taking the things of God for granted. Don't take this church for granted. Don't take your pastors for granted. Don't take your workers for granted. You ought to be thankful to God that there's workers in the church and helpers in the church and you got great pastors. You know, don't become numb to the things that God has done for you. They hard-hearted. What? Well, we're tired of eating that manna. We don't have any sugar to put on it. Well, God, you know, if God made something for them, you better believe it was healthy. And it was exactly what they needed in order to fulfill, you know, the intake of what their body needed. But they became hard-hearted. We have to guard ourselves so we get ourselves to the place that the things of God don't impress us anymore. I'm excited that lady came down here for prayer this morning. I'm excited that she's healed by the stripes of Jesus. I'm excited to hear the report that, you know, the manifestation has come, that she's healed by and all the other prayer requests. You know, I force myself to be excited when things don't even seem to be exciting. I preached in the church not too long ago, and I preached Sunday morning and Sunday night, and the pastor got up. My wife preached Sunday night, and then she preached about 25 minutes, and she said, "It's your turn." My turn? What are you talking about, my turn? She had to serve us, but she said, "It's your turn." And so anyway, I got up and took my turn for about 20 minutes and then prayed for some people and turned over to the pastor. And he got up and he said, "I'm telling you, I didn't say a word to these two." It was a little different service. I mean, we had some stuff, you know, examined some baggage and some suitcase, opened up some suitcases and saw what was inside, you know, read the mail. And so anyway, he got up and he said, you might not ever believe this, but they said over 100 things that they could have never known except by the Spirit of God that applied to this church. And he said, I think I told you this. He said, "This church is dead." He said, "There's no soul winning. There's no evangelism. There's no real excitement. We come and we go through the motions. Oh yeah, somebody gets healed every now and then. Somebody gets saved every now and then. But as far as real manifestations of the Spirit, this church is dead." But then he put it on positive, but it can come to life. And he says, if we'll put into practice the things that the minister said, then the church will come to life. Amen. You know, you got the life of God in you. Why should we ever doubt God? After all the things that he's already done, why should we ever doubt God? Why worry and fret and have anxiety concerning his faithfulness? God's faithful. Let's all stand together. Express your thankfulness to God. You know, be thankful. Come to church revved up, ready. Get yourself into that praise, and you know, and it was really good this morning. Really felt the presence of God, but you know, we can have even greater manifestations of the Spirit of God, amen? And you have to come to that place where you count your blessings, where you express your thankfulness and your gratefulness to your Almighty God. You know, I'm thankful he changed me. And from glory to glory, he's changing me. His likeness and image to perfect in me the love of God shown to the world. He's healed me. Man, I'm healed. I mean, I can't hardly believe that my birth certificate says I'm as old as I am. It's unbelievable. I know I'm a little older than I used to be because, you know, I can look in the mirror and you can face reality, you know. But I don't feel what my birth certificate says, how old I am. I don't feel like I'm 68 years old. I don't act like I'm 68 years old. He's provided financially for me time and time again. You know, be thankful for when God has provided for you. And if he did it before, he'll do it again. Can you say amen? You know, he's showering me with blessings. He's showering you with blessings. Just receive it. So don't be tempted. Say this out loud. I will not be tempted to fret, to worry, and to doubt his faithfulness. Why would you ever want to doubt God, especially now? I mean, I got some change you can really believe in. I know some change you can believe in going on. No, I can't really believe it. It's just unbelievable how fast things are changing in the wrong direction. What do you mean the wrong direction? Well, I mean, you know, it's just going the wrong way. But the church is going the right way. We're going to go the right way. Amen. We're going to go God's way. You know, just open your mouth and look toward heaven and praise him. Don't count yourself in the army that murmurs and complains. If you don't like the way things are doing, keep your mouth shut. No, there are no murmurs or no complainers in this house. Amen? And always remember that God will never, ever fail his children. He's good to his children. And don't ever let the devil or anyone else tell you otherwise. So let's lift our hands toward heaven. If you need healing in your body, raise your hand toward heaven. If you need to be saved today, raise your hand toward heaven and start thanking Him for Jesus. Thank Him for your salvation. Just thank Him for the blessings He's brought in your life. Thank Him for His goodness. Thank Him for His mercy. If you need a job, thank Him for that job. Don't be whining, there's no jobs. Unemployment is this and that. You ought to. There's a job for you if you're a child of God. There's money for you if you're a child of God. If you're a tither and a giver, there's money for you. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Hallelujah to God. Father, we thank You. We praise You. We magnify Your name. We glorify Your name. We thank You this morning for Your salvation. We thank You, Father, that we're born again, that Jesus lives in our heart, that we're children of the Most High God, that God, every step we take is in You. Every step we walk is in You, God. You order our steps. We follow in the footsteps that You have for our life. We thank You, Father, how You've blessed us time and time again. We thank You, Father, for Your overpowering blessings that You have in store for us, what You've blessed us before and what You have coming into our life. We thank You, Lord, our greatest days are just ahead. The house of God is overflowing with people, Father God. They're coming from the north, south, east, and west. We're empowering others to receive Jesus into their life. We thank You, Father God, that the good news, we're sharing good news. We've got good news, Lord. We got good news. Thank You, Lord, for good news. Thank You, Lord, for good news. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord Jesus.